Okay, here we go.
Something.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome once again. It is time for another episode of the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
I'm James Hatton.
I'm Vice President Podcast Rob.
Oh, I like what you did there, sir. In studio.
You like? Yeah, we're in the same place. God, that happens once every 4 years.
Yeah,
too.
I know. Haley's Comet, new presidents.
Seriously.
Anything cyclical. But yes, very good. Right from the start, you've started us already like near the theme. That was.
Yeah, well, you know. This is a quick one.
Yeah, it was bold.
This is a mover.
Yeah. We have Rob and I have spent the day together.
Aw.
Let my love open the door. Getting a bunch of stuff together for the Patreon, and this was just, you know, while we're here, why don't we do an episode that doesn't sound like one of us or both of us are on Skype?
Yes.
So, how you been?
Doing good.
Yeah, I've been good myself. Shit's busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Non-fucking stop.
Yeah. Getting closer to the holidays.
Yo, I know.
Getting some stuff dealt with.
I spent the other night actually carving pumpkins with my girlfriend's daughter, and I was like, you know what? I forgot how cool it is and fun it is to carve pumpkins, only to realize, like, next it's going to be turkeys, and next it's going to be Christmas, and then it's going to be New Year's.
Yeah.
And I had this moment of strange holiday existential panic. So, yeah.
You know, I just want to say, speaking of strange holiday, have you seen the Stranger Things Peanuts Christmas mashup?
I did.
Fucking brilliant.
The most brilliant part about that is the voice of Will.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that Charlie Brown lilt thing down. I don't know why I should do this. And there's no, like, end note or there's an uptick note. He's got it perfect.
Very, very Christopher Walken. Very, very Kennedy. Very kind of, it sounds like a vocal ellipses and you're waiting for the rest of the sentence, but there's nothing. He's done.
But if you watch the old Charlie Brown specials, that's exactly how Charlie talks.
Absolutely. So, and I like when he goes, oh, I should play some soothing holiday music. And it's the theme song from the show.
Bong, 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 bong,
yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, just go into the YouTubes, type Stranger Things Charlie Brown. I'm sure it'll be the first thing that pops up.
Definitely. Check it out.
And we did mention the Patreon. Once again, you can find us over at patreon.com/somethingsomethingcast. We are currently in talks about what we're going to do with the Patreon. Let us know what you want. We have spent the day recording some new stuff for it, and we want you to like it and listen to it. That's what I got.
Yeah, we would love to have people support the show, but we also want to get our stuff out there. It's kind of like when World of Warcraft first started. They were, you know, their designers were really happy with the endgame content, but only like 8% of World of Warcraft players got to see it. We would like to have more people see our endgame content.
Yeah.
So we're tossing around ideas to make the Patreon more accessible. We have some ideas up on our Facebook page. Please check that out, facebook.com/somethingsomethingcast.
What's wonderful is that this episode's being recorded ahead of time, so by now, by the time they're listening to this, we've made decisions.
Oh, well, maybe not.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe not. This is going to go up in like 2 weeks.
They'll be like, what's a Patreon? They've started their robot.
We're not that far into the future. So, we put our heads together. There's a lot going on in the news cycle today, on the Twitter, on the interwebs.
And we're nothing if not politically topical.
Oh, yeah. So we figured, you know, everybody by this point has completely had their fill of anything political, red, blue, donkey, elephant, whatever
or
side.
Green.
Yeah, whatever side you go for, green, whatever side you go for. So we wanted to get away from that.
Yes, but not too far.
Yeah, so this episode today is our top five favorite fictional presidents.
Yeah, I do my best to just ignore online politics at this point. I watch The Daily Show somewhat regularly, but I have so many friends who are politically motivated, and I have so many friends who are politically active that it's just in my best interest to just go, you guys, just you go. Because I know where I'm voting. I know how I'm voting. I know the way I feel about things. I'm just going to, I'll be over here. I'm gonna, just going to watch some shitty movies. I'm going to relax. So, an episode about fictional presidents sounded fantastic. This was Rob's idea. He brought it to me, and I was like, yes, yes, I like it, because I don't want to talk about the real ones.
Yeah, because honestly, I think anybody on either one of our lists could make a serious run for it at this
season.
Point.
Yeah. I got one that would win, and yeah. I haven't looked at your list. I don't, and I'm sure you know a couple on mine. There's one guy I'm sure on both of our lists that nobody wants as president.
They could add these people to the ticket on the 9th, and yeah. They still might have a shot at winning. So
please start us off.
All right, these are in no such order. Of, you know, best to worst or whatever. The first president I'm going to start with is President Fitzgerald Grant III, played by Tony Goldwyn on a lovely little TV show, used to be maybe, called Scandal.
Oh, okay.
I've not seen it. I found Scandal on Netflix, Olivia Pope and Associates. I loved the first couple seasons. I am just caught up with everything that they have on Netflix, and I have to say, I think they jumped the shark a lot this season, but Tony Goldwyn's portrayal of Fitzgerald Grant and everything that he goes through, I think it's one of the more humanizing portrayals of the president, because most of what we see him do isn't necessarily make presidential decisions, but I'm still a human. I'm still a guy. I'm still a person. And he makes a lot of bad choices. But like when he gets his chief of staff to come up with a checklist of things that need to be done every time the president has a booty call in the White House, these things need to happen. It's an interesting and a fresh take, as far as I'm concerned, on the presidents, at least that I've seen in TV and in movies.
Now, is Scandal, the presidential stuff a big part of that show? Or is he a secondary, tertiary character?
No, he's kind of a primary character. He was basically put into office through, lo and behold, they screwed with the election to get him elected because they felt that he was the right person for the job, and he has pretty much turned out to be the right person for the job. They just had to massage things to get him there. But then him and his wife have personal issues, and he ends up taking a mistress who used to be his campaign manager. And
as you do.
And blah, 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 and the back and forth, and we're getting divorced. No, we're not getting divorced. I'm done seeing her. Hey, can you come over tonight, kind of thing.
Okay, so there's major plots and subplots about him.
Yeah, but yeah. It's not like other shows where it's like, you know, they spend a 5-story story arc on can we get this deal with China done, you know,
right,
before the planes fly overhead, kind of thing. It's nothing to that extent. But yeah, that's where I'm going to start it with. President Fitzgerald Grant III.
Good. Would you say good president if nominated this year?
Not a worse president. I'll say that.
I'll give you that. Fair enough.
Again, they don't show a whole lot of his presidential decisions.
Sure, it's a lot of the personal stuff.
Yeah, other than get me so-and-so so I can talk to her. Sir, I don't think that's the best. I'm the president, get me so-and-so so I can talk to them. It's a lot of that.
Marcy! Because everybody has an assistant named Marcy.
Yeah.
Well, my first one is a president who has run the gamut of adventure. Probably has had some of the worst individual days of any president during their presidency, is deeply connected with some of the super secret spy shit that goes on in this country. He is President David Palmer, the president in charge when Jack Bauer is on the scene.
I have him on my list as well. He was my next guy.
He's a fantastic... All right, first off, Dennis Haysbert is a fantastic fucking actor. He's got gravity. He's got just a depthfulness. Like, it took me years after I had stopped watching 24, because I stopped watching probably around season 3 or 4, and I've picked it up here and there. But he does Progressive or Geico?
Progressive.
He does the Progressive commercials, and I still can't be like, oh, the president's on.
Yeah.
Because he's just, his voice is so resounding and deep and presidential and that I don't hear him as a sales pitchman. He's not an actor. He's president of fucking David Palmer.
Right. And the fastball, he hits very, very far.
Yes. Yes, he does. Very good, sir.
Curveball, not so much.
But yeah, David Palmer is the president during the first 4 or 5-ish seasons of 24. The first season is about him getting elected. There's one season that's assassination attempts. There's nuclear vessels. There's tons of shit. Dave's had some bad days, but I still think he'd be a rocking president.
Oh, I think so, too. And I want to say the first... Wasn't, like, the first episode of the first season, didn't that get delayed by a couple weeks? Because that was right around 9/11, and the whole first episode had that, you know, hey, there's a bomb on a plane, and the plane blows up kind of thing. And I think I think they pushed that back a bit. But, you know, there's a lot of talk sometimes in the comic book world about, you know, which came first, the Batman versus the Joker kind of thing. One created the other. It's very cyclical, kind of like parasitic relationship. Yes. Almost. I tend to think that if I was a President David Palmer, after, I don't know, my third really shitty day, I put Jack Bauer in a fucking box and send him somewhere.
Well, there comes, I think it's, it might be in season 3. There's like a weird one in the middle. I don't know whether the game is an actual season or something in the middle. So anyway, there is the one where like Jack Bauer's dead. No one knows Jack Bauer's alive. He's been sent to the deserts to start his life anew. And the only person that knows is the president. So he almost does it. He's almost Jack. Shit, keep it's like how come nobody, it's the how come nobody arrests What's Her Face from Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
Every time she shows some people die.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. Somebody go, hey, we should get Jack Bauer. Jack who? You know, Jack Bauer, never heard of him. Get out. it's really, and I was a big 24 fan until right around, I think, I want to say the third or fourth season.
I'm sure we're
I missed like the
spot.
First 4 episodes, and it was really before you could just catch up with shit online.
Yeah.
And like once you're 3 episodes down in 24, it was just like, fuck it, that's it. There's no coming back from that.
I stopped, and apparently it got better, but there's a spot in somewhere in the, again, the 3-4 range, where every episode ended with a, Jack leaves the room, and then the phone calls. The phone call comes in. Running after the helicopter. Yeah. Running after the helicopter. What is he saying? It doesn't matter. Keep going. He's like, there's about 1,000 times where if they had just stuck around one more minute.
Yeah, exactly.
The season would be over.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry
none
about
of these
it.
Days were, obviously none of these days were fucking daylight savings days. You get a whole extra hour of, okay, everybody just fucking calm down. Take a breath. Let's wait for the phone call.
I want to see Jack Bauer in The Purge.
I want to see, he did it, wasn't there like a TV movie, a made-for-TV movie or something, or maybe in the theaters where he's over in London?
Oh, where Jack Bauer is?
Yeah.
There, I don't know. There's been so many extra 24 things.
I'm pretty sure there was. I would love to see an episode of Sherlock where he's just, like fucking Benedict Cumberbatch is just running down the street and Jack Bauer is running the other way, and Sherlock just like completely gives him the eyebrow and just reads him head to toe as they're running past, the fucking American, and just like off he goes.
All right. You're up.
Well, you took my President David Palmer.
He's a good one. He's
bastard.
I mean, I know we have another one on here.
Next on my list, I'm going to go with President Laura Rosalind, played by Mary McDowell from Battlestar Galactica.
I didn't put her on my list, but I thought about her.
I didn't like the way the show ended. There's countless blogs and articles and blah, blah, blah.
Or just email Hatton.
Yeah, about why people weren't crazy about the way the show ended. But the article I read about her made a very good point. She's like pretty much the only politician / pseudo politician on that ship that nobody fucking gives any lip to. Everybody else gets talked back to at some point in time, except for her. She wasn't even elected.
Truth.
She got put into power because of what happened.
Yeah, she was like 7th or 8th in line.
Yeah,
like she
yeah.
was like a the Secretary of Education. I
yeah,
think.
Yeah. It's like you're on the phone call list for when the alarm goes off, you know, and you're like, you know, head lunch person. Why are you calling me? Because the 14 in front of you.
She's the King Ralph of space presidents.
But Mary McDonnell played her very well. She's a very strong character, very strong portrayal. Did she have her foibles and her mistakes? Sure, but she...
Oh, my God, that's what made her great.
She played with gravitas, though, and that was why I liked her, and that was why I put her on my list.
There was another reason why nobody gave her lip. You want to know why?
Sure.
She gave her lip. Go in the fucking airlock.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Wouldn't it be great if I had Baltar? It would be so great if I had Gaius. I don't. I wish I do now. I wish I did, because I loved Gaius.
I didn't even think of that, to be perfectly honest.
Because Gaius was a totally different, fantastic president for the show in how bad he was.
But to me, Gaius, I know he took on the role of
yes.
president in the show, but he never stopped being Baltar.
Oh, 100%.
It was a title that was given to him, but the character really never changed. So that's almost like an honorary title, in my opinion, for him in that show. I know he had the position and the seat and the power and everything, but he was still the same person. It's just he had an extra word in front of his name now.
Yeah, but I think that's why I liked, 'cause Baltar was the type of character who wanted to be president so he could have that word on his name and people would stop giving him shit.
Right. And they didn't.
Oh, no, of course not. He had to become a cult leader.
Yeah.
Great. So I'm going to jump to movies.
Okay.
I'm going to jump back to TV later with the what if is not on at least on one of our lists. We will get letters.
Yes.
Very specifically from Tim Stevens.
Okay.
Yeah. There's one on here that needs to be listed.
Okay.
But I'm going to jump to movies. I'm going to go with a movie that's more charming than anything. It's not really so much it's a presidential movie. I don't know whether it's going to be at tops of people's lists, but I've always had a fondness for Dave.
You know, I almost put him on my list, too. Dave Kovic. Great character.
Yeah, the whole movie is like, it oozes with stupid amounts of charm. So the premise is it's a very... what's the fairy tale where the prince dresses up like the other prince?
Oh, Prince and the Pauper?
Yeah, it's a very Prince and the Pauper story. The president, who looks like Kevin Kline, is sick and ill and then dead. And so they get this presidential impersonator who also looks exactly, surprisingly, like Kevin Kline to go in and pretend to be him. And so he has to kind of deal with the spots in the office, and he's an ad exec guy. And he's dealing with, who plays his VP?
Is it Sigourney Weaver?
No, that's his wife. The VP, Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's dealing with Ben Kingsley, who doesn't know and then eventually does. The whole affair, like, the movie's silly. It's not an amazing film. It's a rom-com at best. But it really is a fun charmer. And he's a really great character.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. He's
nothing.
Got some great lines too. Like when he's, because really it was just supposed to be like for FaceTime, you know. And then he ends up just taking over, and he balances the budget, and he deals with a lot of bills mm-hmm. that like was never supposed to get to that far at all. It was more like we need you to walk from the car to the building and wave.
Yeah,
and
the machine. And the machine is sitting there going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's going, I'm being the president. Ha ha.
Yeah. Very good stuff. All right. So I'm going to go to the one that we probably have on both of us.
Yeah, of course.
The
worst president.
And the best president.
And the best president.
President. And for those of you who aren't caught up, spoilers.
Bum, 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 bum.
President Francis J. Underwood. Kevin Spacey from House of Cards.
Yeah, there was no way, given our show, he was not on this list.
Yeah, and he sent us stuff. Like, we have campaign buttons and note cards and stuff, because we signed up to support President, you know, yep. FU 2016, come on.
It's on my fridge.
Such, he is a despicable and diabolical character.
So
and
good.
Probably hits a little too close to home to a number of politicians who are currently actually in office.
So true.
But it's Kevin fucking Spacey. So you can't say no to that.
So wait, is there sort of this conceivable moment where, and again, this is a fictional scene, not talking about actual presidential moments, where we see President-elect Trump walking down the street and the limp starts to unfurl, and then it flashes back to Hillary looking in the office.
Barbershop. At the billboard, at the bulletin board?
Barbershop Quartet in Skokie, Illinois. fat person.
No, because the entire bulletin board would just have to be covered in wrong. Just over and over and over again for that to work.
Touche.
He doesn't have that in him. He would get 30 seconds into it and then turn to somebody and go, you know, I'm really Donald Trump. I'm doing the best. But this is a great impersonation. The bestest bigly. This is going to go over. Very good. Other people can't do impersonations like this. Sad.
Oh my God. Trump is Kaiser Soze is horrible.
It is so sorry.
Because you're please, so right.
Please give me the real Kaiser Soze.
I killed them all. It was me.
Kaiser Trump say.
All right, back to
nobody pulls the wool over his eyes better than me.
Kobayashi, he was just a front. I did all the work.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even know the guy. Never heard of him.
All right, please continue with Underwood.
He showing how he climbed all the way up from House was it majority? Yeah, from Majority Whip to Vice President and then to President. Like, and again, another one, never been elected.
Yeah, no.
He just kind of fought his way up there.
Now he has.
Well, there's still, I mean, yeah, I'm sure he will, but it was funny because I was having some conversations with friends on Facebook. He went from whip to vice president.
Whip.
And then from vice president to president. And then we were left with that end of season three. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, well, what happens next? I mean, he's already gone from whip to vice, from vice to president.
What
left is there? I said, clearly he transforms into Zaphod Beeblebrox and becomes the president of the known universe, because really, what else is there?
Brilliant.
He grows a second head and a third arm, and he steals a spaceship that looks like a running shoe. Great, great character. His mental acuity is... it's almost Sherlockian at the information and the pressure points and the shit that he has on other people.
And sociopathic.
And part of that is also because of his chief of staff, Doug.
Oh, Doug.
Doug is an amazing character. Amazing character.
Oh, Doug.
Who's also in Series 3 of Black Mirror. Whose personality is very similar. He's kind of the same kind of guy.
To
cut
Doug?
From the same cloth. Yeah. Cut from the same cloth.
All right. That's horrifying.
It is. Very is. Much is. Bigly.
Bigly is.
Bigly is.
I was Kaiser Soze this whole time. There's just Tanner handprints on all of this shit as he had gone to look.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, I can't believe how funny that is.
He actually can't see the bulletin board because there's a wall in front of it.
Ah! And he got the PD to pay for it.
It's going to be huge. You, sir, please get me out of this because I'll just keep going.
Oh, I know. And what's funny is, and I've learned this over the years, and I guess it's just something about how iconic that part is. And so go Kevin Spacey. But I think in my history of just talking about Usual Suspects, I've cast that 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sure at some point in time during the history of the show, we've done Walken as Kaiser Soze. I know I've done Kermit as Kaiser Soze.
Yes. Yeah.
There was a frog.
There was a frog.
He was in a barbershop quartet, Skokie, Illinois. Agent Cleon punched me in the gut. I pissed blood for a week.
I've done this shit.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, but the best part of Usual Suspects with Muppets is, could you please say the line? Just say the fucking line.
Nice.
We did that. Oh my God, I did that for hours. Anywho, I'm going to go. And if you guys haven't noticed, this is a speedier episode, but I think we're having fun with it.
We are.
We're going to take a breather here.
I'm going to be honest. There's a reason there's a speediness for this. On the day that we're recording this, we're also doing, in roughly 35 minutes from now,
yeah,
a bonus live tweet for Halloween. We're going to be watching From Dusk Till Dawn. People are going to be joining us on the Twitter. I know by the time you hear this, this will be over
2 weeks ago, yeah.
But we do do this once a month, so if you haven't caught any of the previous ones, check us out on Twitter, at STSTcast. We always post it there. One Saturday a month, we do a live tweet along. We pull up a movie on Netflix, and we live tweet to it, and we come up with a hashtag for it, and we invite people to join us along on Twitter.
Yeah, and sometimes
and watch
it's
it
me,
us.
And sometimes it's Rob, sometimes it's both of us. Since we're both hanging out tonight, we figured we'd do it for Halloween.
Yep.
But yeah, that's another thing we've been doing that we hope you guys come check out. It's just another way to have fun with you guys and to do something goofy on the internet.
Yep.
So, sorry to derail, but I realized that we really are talking at like 45 RPM, so I should explain, or 120 RPM rather. So my next one is a classic. I think.
Oh, right.
I think this is, it's on your list, isn't it?
It is, and I had the speech pulled up for it too.
God damn it. Well, now everybody knows what it is. It's just the speech. There's no other reason why it's interesting. Like, I believe that Bill Pullman would be a reasonable president as what's his name in the film? I had it up just a second ago.
President Thomas J. Whitmore.
I'd like to believe that he's probably a good president, but this movie isn't about his policies. It isn't about fighting the Senate tooth and nail. It's not about that. It's about the world is starting to get shit on by aliens, and who are you going to call? So you call
President Thomas J. Whitmore. Who you fucking call?
Exactly. Will you, along with the Fresh Prince, The Fly, and Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And Harry Connick Jr.
Oh yes. Harry Connick Jr.
And it's funny because I pulled up the speech because I wasn't even going to say who it was. I was just going to start reading the speech.
Ah, please.
And I'm reading the speech and I get to the very end where they have it italicized in red text for the boldness of it, and I'm fucking getting goosebumps just reading the speech.
It is. It's, I don't know how such like a silly, actiony, destruction-y world movie has what I would argue to be what, like, other than Rudy, the most like chill inducing I want to help fight this thing.
It's speech. The speech from Rudy. It's the they can take our land, but they'll never take our freedom, and this, and that's it. You can just play that. You can put it in a fucking boombox or play it on your car with the windows rolled down and just park somewhere in a parking lot, and people will fucking cheer at the end of those speeches. It doesn't matter where you are.
I was trying to just now remember there is a poem that Rodney Dangerfield reads in Back to School, and I was trying to remember whether that ranked, and my brain got caught up thinking about Bill Pullman giving this speech.
I have a friend, every 4th of July, he changes his profile pic to Bill Pullman with the CB handle.
Of course.
Changes his banner to the spaceship blowing up the White House and posts this speech as his status for 4th of July.
Idris Elba.
It is so iconic.
Idris Elba in Pacific Rim, who gives an amazing speech, was looking at Bill Pullman when he spoke that speech out.
Oh,
even in his mind's eye. There's no way you say, we are canceling the apocalypse without thinking of Bill Pullman doing this.
Yeah. This is 20 years old, this speech, and it still holds up. This is the same kind of speech that Morgan Freeman was trying to channel in Deep Impact. You know, but he's doing the whole, we will go on, we will survive.
Right, right.
Talking about the fucking meteor. No, it doesn't hold a candle to this. Bill Pullman's speech, fantastic.
We've yet to say this is from Deep Impact.
Oh, come on. Independence Day.
Of course, Independence Day.
If anybody doesn't know it yet. It was just such a good delivery, too.
Because Gremlins 2.
You know that he, like, when you're reading this, you get the sense that really only the first two sentences may have been written for him or rehearsed for the character, that is. Because when he gets to that whole thing about, you know, good morning, in less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world, and you will be launching the largest aerial battle in this history of mankind. Mankind. That word should have a new meaning for all of us today. And right there, you realize he's off teleprompter, he's off script, he is winging it.
Oh, sure.
And he just fucking brings the noise. It is ridiculous.
The American flag drops behind him, Patton stands next to him and nods.
It just amazing stuff. Good stuff. To you, President Bill Pullman, President Thomas J. Whitmore.
We salute you.
We do. It sounded like one of those Bud.
Alien invasion president guy.
Fictional presidents.
So I guess that one was technically mine. What do you got?
Yeah, I have an honorable mention, and I have a worst that I couldn't stand because you doubled up on two of mine.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough.
Bastard. I talked a lot about Pullman. Hit us with one of your other ones.
Well, I only have one more.
I'll do one of my honorable mentions. My honorable mention, even though he played a president in another movie that we've already talked about, my honorable mention is acting president Alan Trumbull, who was Speaker Alan Trumbull, played by Morgan Freeman in Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, yes. I was wondering how come we hadn't heard from him yet.
Because there's a point where they don't know if the president is still alive or not after they've taken the White House. So he becomes the acting president. Morgan Freeman as an acting president is fucking badass.
Sure.
And as good of a job as he did in Deep Impact, he's an older, a more seasoned, a more you do not fuck with Morgan Freeman kind of Morgan Freeman in Olympus Has Fallen. And it was just a great character for him to play. I was telling Hatton before, I recently rewatched London Has Fallen, in which he's already vice president now at this point. Good stuff. I didn't enjoy it as much as Olympus Has Fallen, because once they blow all this shit up, it doesn't matter that they're in London anymore. It's just they're in a big metropolitan city and most of the people talk with a British accent. But there was nothing so iconic about it. Like in Olympus Has Fallen, where they're actually fighting in the White House. But that's my honorable mention, acting president Alan Trumbull.
So I have two honorable mentions. I want to double check my one to make sure that he is the president, because part of me, he's not on this list of... there's actually, if you go, there's a wiki list of actors who have played presidents, and there's also one of actors who played fictional presidents. And I went and I looked up... specifically, this actor isn't in the list, and I swore he played the president. Just wanted to give a quick... Let me just run up to the IMDb. Waiting for it to load up. Because I have two. The first one is one that ever since... Yes, he did play the president. Thank God. The first one was Rob at the very beginning goes, "I know one of yours." I'm like, "You don't know one of mine." He's like, "I know one of yours." And I got through those, looking through the list, and I went, "Oh, yeah, you do know one of mine." But it's an honorable mention of Mr. Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks.
Yeah, the minute I saw that, I'm like, "Oh, there we go." Cross that one off.
I'm not even going to talk about it very long. We already understand that Mars Attacks is a wonderful movie. We already understand that you are incorrect.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's a quick one.
Before our live tweet, I'm going to have to run to my car and get my ladybug hive. Yes, so I can bring it into your house.
Shit. Why do you have that?
Shh.
For those who are unaware, my house was infested with ladybugs. They've all met the dustbuster.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that I've left. We have a peace treaty. If they can survive the season with the cat, they can live.
Okay.
My other honorable mention is... another sort of goofball president, not so much a serious one, but I always found it very funny that he was cast. Zeus from No Holds Barred, a.k.a. Tiny Lester, President Lindbergh in Fifth Element.
Yes. I was actually just looking him up, too. And just looking into where you had scrolled from, it looked like you had pulled up Armageddon. And I'm like, that's the wrong movie. He did not play the president in Armageddon. But yes, no, I did have him on here as well as an honorable mention. Just because, I mean...
He's tiny fucking Lister.
Yeah, he's fucking gigantic.
And he was, I want to say, like, you couldn't have had Terry Crews in Idiocracy, which I'm sure a bunch of you guys would want to put on this list.
Sure.
Without, I think, tiny Lister as sort of being the... I mean, I don't even have just a big meathead guy. It's as the president.
He's the president facing an event that literally no other president had ever faced before.
Sure.
And you get the sense that he's this, you know, this big, huge, hulking, powerful guy with a really resonating and commanding voice. And you just get the sense of the entire thing. He just has no fucking clue as to what to do. And it's okay. Yes, that is what...
Yeah.
Sure.
And when you look at the world of Fifth Element, you know, with the cigarettes with 8 inches of filter and putting your hands on circles and, you know, the very regimented world that they have, it makes sense that he would be completely out of his damn element. I always found it funny because I always remember him, of course, from No Holds Barred and from Moving with Richard Pryor. Like, anytime you'd see him, He was always just, he was the tough, he was the meat. So having him as the president, I thought was just, it's a brilliant decision.
Right. Yeah, good stuff.
You got what? So what do you go with, your worst, your least favorite? Or, because I have my best, my last one.
I have a worst. President Ashton, played by William Hurt in the movie Vantage Point.
Okay.
And the reason I'm putting him on the worst is, I'm going to be honest and say, I can't even say if his character was the worst, but this movie was just a complete steaming pile of shit. It was a horrible movie for all the right reasons and a funny movie for every single wrong reason ever. I want to say it was Matthew Fox's first big thing after Lost. It's basically the story of a attempted presidential assassination.
Okay.
I want to say the movie's about an hour and 40 minutes long. I honestly believe that all told, they filmed roughly 49 minutes worth of stuff. Because they show you like 10 minutes of, they show you like a countdown timer in the lower corner of what time of day it is. And then the scene starts and they show you like 10 minutes and they get to like a dramatic cliffhanger kind of point. And then the screen goes black and the clock comes back, but it's the same time it was 10 minutes ago. And they're showing you the same scene from a different point.
Okay.
Vantage point, if you will.
Oh,
where that. You learn a different piece of information that you didn't have the first time. She's like, oh, okay, so that guy's really... And then the screen goes black and they do the clock thing again. By the fifth time they did that, every time the clock comes up, the people in the audience were laughing. Because it was just like, oh, that old chestnut, eh? It was terrible.
Because it sounds like an interesting gimmick done poorly. Because Memento is a pretty good flick, and it has a vaguely similar, different-ish sort of play the movie backwards thing. Like, it's got a gimmick. That sounds like a gimmick that, if done correctly, you could see something cool, but it sounds like they did not do it as cool.
It was very poorly done. Yeah. I mean, I went and saw it with Fact Check Man years ago in the theater, and like literally, well, it just hit a certain point where every time that clock came back up and you saw it was 7:58, 7:59, 8 a.m., everybody was like, oh, for fuck's sake, really? It was nightmarish how stupid it was.
Now, is the president bad?
Like I said, I can't even, he was bad because he was in this movie.
Oh, fair enough.
Other than that, I mean, I don't remember much of the actual character except for the fact that he was in this movie. I'm not a huge William Hurt fan to begin with. I mean, I don't hate him. He's just, whatever. He's kind of forgettable. This movie, not forgettable because it's just fucking burned on my brain at how bad it was.
Memorably bad.
Yes.
Well, I have one left. It's the one, and honestly, I'm confused that you don't have it on the list because maybe you didn't watch the show. Or did you? Did you watch the show?
No.
Ah, that'd do it. Because he's arguably the best television president that ever lived.
That is what I've heard from people who have watched the show.
Yeah.
People unlike me.
I am, of course. And admittedly, it was only a couple of years ago, long after the show went off the air, that I watched this. I am talking about President Josiah Edward Bartlett, PhD. I guess it'd be President Doctor, maybe? Anyway, as portrayed by Martin Sheen in West Wing, the Alan Sorkin dreamboat show about the president and what literally happens in the White House through all the press and the subplots of... And this show is literally about the presidency. There's nothing in the series itself. Fairly episodic with long tethered storylines running through. There's nothing in the show that isn't very specifically about what his cabinet go through. Plots about bad sources, plots about possible war, plots about trade negotiation. And Martin Sheen plays this very thoughtful, intelligent, super charming Democratic president. And at the end of the day, you're like, I want a president like Bartlett because Bartlett's awesome. Bartlett never does anything wrong. He's dreaming. It's the show is it's much like Dave, unendingly charming. And it goes through his whole presidency from beginning to end, through his see as a disease, through his wife wanting to sort of seek out her own way, to what happens with his daughter, to the whole thing, top to bottom. I would highly recommend. I don't know whether the show, I've heard the show still holds up, which is nice. Because the show starts off and you're not really sure, because it literally starts off with him like taking a dip on a bike. He's riding his bike through the park or whatnot, and he takes a dip, and Secret Service and everybody's like freaking out because the news now is going nuts.
This
news cycle is about the president having fallen on his bike.
Right.
Very much like when Bush like choked on a pretzel. Like it's
threw up on a head of state.
Yeah. So right from the get-go, you're like, oh, is he going to be like a bumbling sort of guy?
Right,
is he
going to
be? No, he is. He walks through it like, I'm a guy. I'm an old man. I fell off my bike. Let's move on.
Right.
And just takes it in stride and just pushes through. I think it's very sort of fairy tale-ish in how perfect he is at times. But from beginning to end, the way he's the anti-Underwood.
Sure.
In how everything works. There's at no point where you really feel like this is a president I couldn't trust my life in. So that's Bartlett, West Wing. I know for a fact that many people would have been like, how the hell did you not mention that?
Right. No, that's fair. But again, he's on a bunch of lists that I had looked on just for reference.
Yeah.
It's not... I've never watched the show, so...
And I've never seen Veep, and I've heard
I'll
that's very good, too.
I'll get hate from that, I'm sure. I've never watched West Wing, but, you know.
Sadly, I've tried Sorkin's other stuff. Like, he did that... I can't remember the name of it. The network show that was on with Lloyd Bridges.
Okay, yeah.
Not very good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's done other stuff that just is... West Wing was sort of hit it running.
No, I gotcha.
I wonder what else. I don't even know what Sorkin's done recently. He's probably doing something amazing, and people are going to be like, how did you not see this thing?
Yeah, exactly. And we also know that there are hundreds of other really good presidents that have been portrayed in movies and TV.
This is true.
Gene Hackman, Absolute Power. Harrison Ford, Air Force One, other, you know, really good ones.
Yeah, there's, like I said, there was a huge list to go through. Peter Sellers from Doctor Strangelove was almost on mine.
You can't fight in here.
This is the war room. So fucking good. So yeah, we know we missed some. Which ones did we miss? It's your job to tell us. You're the audience.
Yes, we were leaving you opportunity. Unlike Hatton, who stepped over, you know, 2/5 of my list, we wanted to give you guys some leg room. So
shared.
Feel free to take it and run with it. Let us know what you would have included on our list, or let us know what your top five are. Tweet at us at STSTcast. Hit us on the Facebook somethingcast, Facebook/somethingcast.
Patreon.
You can email us at somethingcast@gmail.com. And of course, the Patreon, patreon.com/somethingcast.
I shared them with you.
Okay.
All right. So I guess that's what we got. I got nothing else.
We ended it quick, so I'm going to do a little something.
Oh, please do. Yes, excellent. While you're something in somethinging.
Yeah. So a little something this episode, we're going to give a shout out to the Naked Porch Podcast. We're going to give a shout out to The Story Behind, which is a new podcast which will have already come out by the time you hear this episode. It is from Emily, who used to do Classy Little Podcast, The Story Behind. Definitely give them a check out. The Goat Movie Podcast, and Now That I'm Older. So check all those out, plus any other fine podcasts on the hashtag Potter and Family Podcast Network.
And now I'm even older, and now I'm even older. Do they play that as their theme song? I hope so. Because that's my favorite. They Might Be Giants song.
Okay.
Every day you're older still, and now you're even older. Now you're older.
We're on a timer.
Oh, right. Sorry. All right. Thank you all for listening. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. We got a whole lot more going. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Podcast Rob.
Oh, and I'm James Hatton. You were doing. I didn't know what you were doing.
You felt like you were wrapping up post credits already. I was just like, what is he doing?
No, I was getting there.
Okay.
We haven't been in the studio in so long.
Well, and I know you're not used to working on a timer.
We've lost each other's rhythm. I feel like I've been missing you for so long.
Get your hand off my leg.
Oh, sorry. I'm James Hedden.
I'm Podcast Rob.
We will see you guys next time.
Later. Do you know the names of the U.S. residents who then became the presidents and got a view from the White House flew of Pennsylvania Avenue? George Washington was the first, you see. He once chopped down a cherry tree. President number two would be John Adams, and then number three. Tom Jefferson stayed up to write the Declaration late at night, so he and his wife had a great big fight, and she made him sleep on the couch all night. James Madison never had a son, and he fought the War of 1812. James Monroe's colossal nose was bigger than Pinocchio's. John Quincy Adams was number six, and it's Andrew Jackson's butt he kicks, so Jackson learns to play politics. Next time, he's the one that the country picks. Martin Van Buren, number eight, for a one-term shot as chief of state. William Harrison, how do you praise? That guy was dead in 30 days. John Tyler, he liked country folk. And after him came President Polk. Zachary Taylor liked to smoke. His breath killed friends whenever he spoke. 1850, really nifty, Miller Fillmore's in. Young and fierce was Franklin Pierce, the man without a chin. Follows next a period spanning 4 long years with James Buchanan. Then the South starts shooting cannon, and we got a civil war. A war, that's happening.